Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Pav.
And I'm Neil.
And welcome to the Top 10 of Anything podcast.
Let's start the countdown.
10, 9.
Helen, kick us off with your number 10.
My number 10 is not Fellowship of the Ring. It is His Girl Friday. This is one of my all-time favorite comedies. It is a classic film that I go back to almost more than any other. And it's the kind of film that is gave me a false impression of how cool and glamorous journalism was going to be and how many fabulous hats I was likely to wear. But it's an impeccable film. It's Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant. She's the star reporter. He's the editor and ex-husband. And she is about to go off and get remarried and also retire. Now, these two things are both important. He doesn't want to lose the chance of getting back together. He also doesn't want to lose his star reporter. So he sort of coerces and convinces her to take on essentially one last story before she goes, and uses that as an attempt to win her back. It's all put together by Howard Hawks. It's got an incredible supporting cast. It has rapid fire dialogue, like jokes. I think it's 140 words a minute or something, which most films are about half that. So the jokes just keep coming at you. They're nonstop. And it's phenomenal. It's so knowing and sly and clever and funny. I just love it.
You know what? I've never seen that movie.
No.
And I feel like it's one of those movies that laid the path for a lot of comedies that came.
Huge influence on rom-coms after, at least the good rom-coms. I think if you're making a rom-com and you don't watch His Girl Friday, it's a bad decision, basically. You should absolutely go back to this well and be inspired by it.
Yeah. Neil, have you ever seen it?
A long time ago. It's been a long time since I saw it. I always remember one of my partners, she was a big fan of that years ago, and made me watch it. And I was a bit harumphy about watching it. But after I went through it, it was a joy. I can remember laughing. And it's an absolute joy. But I really do need to revisit it because it's been a long time.
I'm going to make it a mission, try and find it over the holidays.
Last I checked, it's streaming on a couple of different services, so it is very easy to get. But it's really worth your time because it will not bore you.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, Neil, you're number 10.
Well, this is the film that I did put back into the top 10 after watching it this weekend. I watched the extended version, and this is on honour of Helen as well. It's Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. to me, the best Lord of the Ring or Hobbit movie of them all. It set the groundwork. It was, to me, the best directed. Well, I shouldn't say best directed. Visually, it was the one that pleased me the most. Just a complete package and set you on the path to the rest of the movies. I'd forgotten how good it really was because I sort of stayed away from them for a bit after The Hobbit, really. I think that soured my taste buds a little bit on that universe. But I went back this weekend, watched Fellowship of the Ring, and thought, wow. This is an absolute blinder. And it reminded me how I felt when I first saw it in the cinema and came out. And it's just great. Everything in it. There's not a bad moment in the movie. And I like the fact, I do like the extended version as well, because it's unapologetic. You meander with it and it doesn't ever drag, ever, for a long movie, which is always a good sign.
I can remember all those years ago in Empire magazine when they had those, I think it was like artistic drawings of what some of the sets were going to be like, thinking, how are they going to pull this off? This is either going to look really, really cheesy or it's going to look amazing. And luckily, it looked amazing.
It looked amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's one of the only films I can remember where I've watched the extended version and it never felt like it was an extended version.
No, it doesn't.
Which is crazy.
It's phenomenal. It's one of the cinema-going experiences of my life. I went to a midnight screening to see it, like, the moment it was possible. And I remember being so stressed, actively stressed beforehand of, what if they've screwed it up? What if this is bad? What if they've messed with my toolkit? And, you know, because this is a book I'd read at least yearly, pretty much all my life at that point. And then, literally from the first words, I started to relax, like literally from the voiceover, from the Galadriel voiceover. And when you see that opening scene, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And by the time they got to the Mines of Moria, I was basically just, I think I might have been crying for joy, but I was definitely all in for anything Peter Jackson wanted to make for the next 10 years. I was just, yes, this is incredible.
But an amazing achievement to suck you into that world as well. For people that I know that have never read the books and just obsessed with the movies now, it's a real feat to have achieved that, I think.
But it really makes you scratch your head to wonder how they got The Hobbit so wrong.
I think there is, well, I have a lot of opinions, which I won't go into, about prequelitis and sequelitis. And, you know, you really have to be very careful when padding out what's already there, not to make it feel extraneous. And I think The Hobbit was maybe on the wrong side of that. Interestingly, I think The Rings of Power are on the right side of that this year. I actually think they did a very good job of developing stuff in ways that was surprising and interesting. But it's actually, in a weird way, a more difficult book to adapt, because it is a straight linear story. There is no obvious breakpoint, actually. And especially as soon as they decided to make it three films, I was kind of dreading that one. I didn't think that was going to work.
And sort of visually, I think the CGI, a lot of the CGI was too CGI, if you know what I mean.
There's a fine balance.
Yeah, wasn't it all like this 60 frames a second as well, which didn't help it as well. But there you
hey-ho.
Go. Hey-ho, indeed. Okay, my number 10 is, I've got to thank Neil for this, because when we were chatting about this, I can't believe I left this one off, and it's a movie from 2022, I believe it was, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, great call.
I watched this, and it was one of those movies that I didn't go and see it at the cinema. I was waiting for it to come on a streaming service, and then it was a Sunday afternoon. I think my wife was at work, and I thought, I'm going to put it on. And it was like 1 minute crying, 1 minute laughing my head off, 1 minute wondering what the fuck was going on. It was just, Everything Everywhere All at Once is sort of like your experience watching the film as well as what the film is about. But it is just, I love the Daniels. I love Swiss Army Man is one of them. It would have been in my top 10, but there's not enough spaces for top 10, unfortunately. I think I'm in their groove. You know, I think I just get what they do. And it is just a joy from start to finish, that movie. And I implore anybody that thinks, oh, I'm not going to bother watching that,
think again.
Sausage fingers.
Dildo fight.
Butt plugs. Yeah. I mean, what more do you need in a mainstream movie? It's just fantastic. Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic in it. Everybody's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
It is just one of those movies that hits every single note perfectly. So I don't know what you guys think about it, but Helen, what?
Oh, absolutely with you. I think it's extraordinary. And I think it is, you know, it is, as you say, it's like maximal filmmaking. It's maximalist filmmaking. They have got thrown everything, including, as we say, butt plugs and sausage fingers and everything at the screen. And yet it is also a philosophical treatise, and it is also a really grounded family drama about connecting with your loved ones. Yeah. It is, I mean, to be able to balance all those things and juggle all those things is an absolutely monumental achievement. It is right up there with the greatest filmmaking challenges of all time. I think it's amazing yeah, choice.
It's not a movie you can put on in the background while you're doing something else.
No.
You've got to,
no.
It makes you, because one minute they're speaking English, the next minute they're speaking another language and then another language, and you've got to be focused on it. But it's not focused in a sense of like, well, I don't understand where this is going. There are certain points of it which makes you go, I have no idea what's going on now. But it all comes, and it's just fantastic. It is just, I was so happy when I watched it that like, I wish I'd seen it at the cinema. I'd obviously wish I'd seen it at the cinema, but yeah, it's an experience. And again, anybody that is thinking, well, maybe I should watch it, just watch it and thank me later. That's all I'm going to say. Right then, Jay, you're number 9 then, please.
Okay, John Lennon.
Okay.
Because I love him. Yeah. I love the guy.
John Lennon is my number 8.
Oh, okay. Lovely, ooh, lovely.
So close.
Yeah. Okay, so go on then. What reason then, Jay?
So, like, for me, he is like the opposite of what you would describe. He had a very hectic and crazy life, of course, and you would see it in him. He just led this band. Even when I saw this movie, it was called Nowhere, about his history and his troubled relationship with his mother. And I liked it so much because I never thought so. All I would think of when I see John Lennon is like, okay, you know, John Lennon is the least interesting Beatle for me. That was in the past. But then I saw this movie and I'm like, wow, look at the history. But I just, when the Beatles come to mind, yes, I think of each one of them distinctly. But at the same time, I just think of John Lennon as the iconoclastic, you know, like Beatle, like he is there. The face is imprinted in your brain, even the tragic ending. And Yoko Ono, I always loved their couple, to be honest. So for me, he's just a part of the rock music for me, you know, like the energy that it brings you and the weirdness, the strangeness, the aloofness that you sometimes feel. So he would be mine.
Yeah, he's one of those icons, isn't he? So is that the reason you had him on yours then, Loz?
Yeah, absolutely. For all the things that you've just said, he wasn't afraid of being himself. And the feeling, whenever somebody mentions John Lennon, you just know that that's such an important name in the history of music. And it really stays with you. And it's partly because of the tragic circumstances around when he died. But it was also, you know that he was, goes hand in hand with everything that the Beatles was about. And I also loved his energy and his relationship. I think there was something quite special about it because it was quite different for back in the day as well. So I think that he also, for me, was just, he's possibly one of the coolest people ever to walk the earth. When you think of the word cool, John Lennon comes hand in hand with that word and the vibe. Like, you couldn't get more cooler than John Lennon, really.
Wow.
And I think he's another one of those ones, though, that he died when he was 40.
Yeah.
So, you know, would you be calling him? I've always said this, that like, if he hadn't have died and if George Harrison hadn't have died and the Beatles maybe got back together again, would they be, you know, playing like nightclubs now instead of being the biggest band in the world? But then when you look at people like the Eagles and people like that are still selling out stadiums.
Yeah, that's true. And Fleetwood Mac and Rolling Stones, and they're all still at it, aren't they? And
yeah,
we'll still give them a huge amount of respect. Especially now that a lot of like people are into their vinyl, like vinyl, it's like the 15th year in a row, vinyl sales have gone up again.
Yeah.
And I think the younger generation, like my niece, she's 16. She's loving the Beatles. She's loving like discovering all of these old bands. And I think that like good music, it's always going to be good music. So I'm not quite sure of the point I'm trying to make, but
yeah, there's a great moment in, Paul McCartney's live show, which he did at Glastonbury. It's the song I've Got a Feeling, where he sings a bit and then John Lennon sings a bit. So he's singing it and he turns around to this massive screen, and then all of a sudden it's the footage from the top of Abbey Road Studios. No, Apple. It's Apple, isn't it? And then there's a big John Lennon is singing his bit back to Paul McCartney. So it's Paul McCartney when he's 80, what is it, 81, something like that. And then yeah. the young John Lennon is singing it back. It's fun. It, like, there's not a dry eye in the house. Like, everyone's like crying because there's John Lennon on the big screen in that.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. And also just from a, Jay, you were saying earlier that for you, it's about how it makes you feel. And there's something that, you know, in your life that maybe like family, like parents, for example, introducing you to music. For me, with the Beatles, yes, that was definitely my dad introduced me to the Beatles. And at my wedding, we had Hey Jude as the very last piece of music that was played. And what happened was all of our guests, not this wasn't rehearsed or anything, but all of our guests got into a circle and we were all just singing it. We were singing our hearts out and we were just kind of just swaying. And that is just a moment that I will just be forever implanted in my brain whenever I hear that song, whenever I think about my family and my friends all being together. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Lovely.
I've got a little, I think I might have said this on an old episode, but my dad has met John Lennon. Back in the day, my dad was in a band and they were trying to get a record deal at Apple. So they took their what they call it, acetate or whatever it was, to Apple. They were walking through the corridors and all of a sudden John Lennon comes walking down the corridor and he stops. As he stops, he looks at my dad. Now this is the story that my dad, I mean, look, this might be complete bullshit, but my dad has said this, and that John Lennon turned to him and said, "Didn't I see you on TV last night?" And my dad went, "No." And then he just walked back off again. So John Lennon thought that my dad was someone famous that had been on TV. And my dad's been telling that story for years.
Oh, what an amazing story.
Yeah, I hope it's true. I mean, obviously, I can't corroborate it with the people that were in it because he's not there anymore. But yeah, it's like a little claim to fame. Okay, then, Loz, your number 9, please.
Stevie Nicks.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I've seen them play live at the Isle of Wight Festival back in 2017, I think it was. And they were, even though they are getting on a bit, they were brilliant. And the amount of love for them in the crowd was quite phenomenal considering the age. The demographic would have been quite a bit younger. But I also have a quite cool story about Stevie Nicks. I've once spoke to her on the phone. So she was really good friends with this American guy who bought the Bathurst Arms in Gloucestershire, which is just down the road from where Pavo and I live. And I was working there as a waitress. And this landlord, Robbie, his name was, he used to go on and on and on about the fact that he knew Fleetwood Mac really well. And we were all like, yeah, just thought it was a bit bullshit. And then one day I answered the phone, as I always did, and expecting it to be like a booking for a table of six for a Sunday roast. And she's like, "Hi, is Robbie there?" He's like, yeah, absolutely. Who can I say is calling? Stevie Nicks. I was like, I'll just go and get him, Stevie.
Did you not say prove it? Sing a song to me. Come on.
Sing me a song.
Yeah.
No, so that was very cool. But I think she's awesome.
When you hear the stories, I think it was a documentary or something on YouTube I watched about Fleetwood Mac, like recording Rumours and recording albums in the 70s. It was amazing they got anything done because all they were doing was taking drugs. That's all they did. It's like they did like eight hour working days, but they did like 7 hours of taking drugs and then an hour of singing and playing. but
guys, really
amazing. Yeah, amazing music. So I'm amazed that they haven't done a movie on her life, I must admit.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I think it would be. Okay, that's a great one. My number 9 is, again, one of these ones that who knows what it'd been like if he'd have been alive, but it's Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, again, you say rock star, one of the first people you think of is someone like Jimi Hendrix. But he was one of the 27 Club, I think, wasn't he? I think Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, I think he's like the poster boy for the 27 Club. I think he's like one of the first ones you think of. But it's like, it would be amazing to know what kind of music. Without Jimi Hendrix, you wouldn't have Prince, and you wouldn't have Prince, you wouldn't have Bruno Mars, and those, you know, there's a lineage that goes to those kind of people. Yeah. And Jimi Hendrix, again, was one of those guys that took the guitar and did things with it that nobody thought that you could do with it. The sounds you could get out of it, the fact that he was left-handed and didn't bother with getting a left-handed guitar. He just said, what's the point of that? I'll just get a right-handed guitar and change the strings because, you know, I haven't got money to get a guitar. So he'd always play like a right-handed guitar upside down. It's just crazy. But one of those guys that it would be in an alternate universe. What would people think of him now if he was 75, 76 or however old he would be? It just is one of those things. He's encapsulated in time, isn't he? So he's always a cool looking Jimi Hendrix with his headband on playing the guitar.
I think there are photos of him playing the guitar blindfolded.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, he used to do it behind his head and play with his teeth and all that kind of stuff.
I understand this photo. I think I saw it and I was like, ooh, so cool. Okay.
Fair play. I mean, that's the way to do it. But it's a man who knows what he's doing. He knows his art and just didn't fulfill his full potential, which is such a shame. You know, and he died in Harry Nielsen's apartment. Harry Nielsen.
How did he die?
I think it was a drug overdose or he died on, you know, like vomiting chunks. Yeah, but it was in Harry Nielsen who sang the song Without You. I can't live if living is without you, that one. So he died in his London apartment. Yeah. Mm. Oh, what a wonderful, happy, jolly episode this is. It's all about death. Yeah. Okay. God, this is going to get juicy. I feel this is going to get juicy. Okay, your number 8 then, please, Keris.
Goes without saying, the lovely Victoria Wood. It is a fucking morbid list. Hang on. 3 of mine are dead. Yeah. Hang on, let me check. The rest of them are alive.
That's
I've got the dead
enough.
Ones out of the way.
You got the dead ones out of the way. Yeah. I mean, Deadwood, if you want to call. Yeah. Deadwood. Oh, sorry. Is that too soon? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just her and Julie Waters and stuff back in the day.
Acorn Antiques.
Yeah, just
fantastic.
Amazing. And again, one of these ones that you're like, I wonder what, in a way, sometimes it feels better that she's gone because I like the fact that her legacy lives on now rather than when you see the likes of somebody else trying to come back.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not mentioning names.
No.
Where they've done stuff that I really loved back in the day and then now they're doing stuff and you're like, it's not working. Just an example, bloody Walliams and Matt Lucas, isn't it? Yeah. Back in the day, we all loved Little Britain. Anything they've tried since, horrific.
It's just not the same.
James Corden and Matthew Horne. Yeah. We all loved them in Gavin and Stacey, put them in to presenting something. And we were like, well, what the heck is this god-awful stuff?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a time and a place. So sometimes you're like, did she have a time and it was brilliant and she's gone out on a high and that's great for us all. I just wonder, there was just genius there and she could have done so much more.
Yeah. I think also she'd have been a character in Harry Potter as well.
Oh, of course,
She would have been something. She'd have been one of the
teachers. We've got to think anything that Julie Waters had done, isn't it, would have been that there would have been an in to
exactly
into for Victoria.
Exactly. But yeah, very multi-talented, like musician and comedian, and like I say, Acorn Antiques was just it was like I'd watch it. I wasn't a big Victoria Wood fan, but I would watch the show. Was it Wood on TV or I can't remember what it was called now. Was it just Victoria Wood on TV? Something like that.
I would watch the whole half hour
just to watch the Acorn Antiques bit because it was just hilarious. It was just fantastic.
It's just a shame. As seen on TV. Yeah. Was it?
As seen on TV. That's right. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah. My number 8 is Al Murray, but as the pub landlord. I've been a fan. I think he still does it, doesn't he? I've seen him a couple of times live. The one thing about him is the character's very funny. I don't know whether it's not PC, which is part of the joy of it is the fact that he's saying stuff that, you know, you say in the normal world, you're going to get cancelled or whatever, but you also learn a lot as well. There's a lot about like the British Empire and all of that kind of stuff. Cause he is so knowledgeable about history and wartime history and stuff like that, just as a person. He's got a really good podcast. Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. But it's all about like wartime and the Second World War and stuff like that. Yeah. But Al Murray, he had a fantastic sitcom called Time, Gentlemen, Please, which was on Sky in the mid-90s, I think.
We have ways of making you talk.
There you go. We have ways of making you talk. That's right. But the pub landlord character had its own sitcom, which was co-written with Richard Herring. And it was really good, but it never got the plaudits or recognition that it should have done. And I can remember when we went to the Wyvern, I think it was in Swindon, and there was a lot of people, and I was talking to somebody saying, yeah, I haven't ever seen him live, but I've watched Time, Gentlemen, Please. And he went, that's shit compared to, like, exactly what you said, compared to seeing him live. He said, that TV show is shit. And I went, all right, okay. And I love the TV show, but watching him live was a completely different experience. Yeah. But he is so bombastic and does the sort of stuff you do where he's talking to people. That was the question I was going to ask you. Because he does it as well. He'll talk to somebody and then half an hour later we'll go back and talk to that same person. I'm terrible at remembering names. You must have a gift as well for like remembering. You'll sort talk to someone and go, hello, Deirdre. I don't know why I chose Deirdre.
Yeah.
But then you've got to remember that name.
Yeah.
Is that just something that you've trained yourself for that?
Yeah. Sometimes you could just have that night where it doesn't matter how many times I could ask the woman her name and it's just gone. Right. And I'll ask it again and it's gone. And just sometimes like that, I just cannot remember. But I'd say a lot of that is because of my age and because of menopause and shit like that, which is, that's the upsetting thing for me because there was a few months where I was properly panicking about it. Right. But you've got to think as well, I base it on the fact that there's other comedians that will also want to come on and direct something at somebody else. So unless I do that, and go, oh, Matt, what do you do? And then say the comedian comes on and he wanted to pick on somebody. He's like, oh, Matt, you're 23. You know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean? Right. So it also pays it back to the other comedians and they take on board. Or if somebody turns up halfway through a night and goes, who do I need to know about in the audience? And I'm like, well, Matt, he's 23. He sat in the front with his mum and Deirdre, she's over there. She's on a hen do. So it's passing sort of information along. But that's my favourite thing to do because people then think that they're part, not only are they part of the show, but it's specifically tailored to that night.
Right.
Because you're involving the people that are there. It's not generic people that could be in any audience. It is Deirdre. It is Matt. It's the people that are sat in front of you. And they love it when you go back, you remember something and do callbacks throughout the night. I love that. I love it. It's my favourite thing.
That's the job of an MC then, is to give tips to the other comedians and stuff.
I would say, I said the amount of times people come out and go, is there any, like, what's the average age or where's the, like, majority of people live? Are they locals? So things like that is you're sort of gleaning information that if somebody does want to talk about anything, they've got a few people to pick on. They know the average age of the room. They know who the youngest in the room is. They know sort of roughly who people are with and what's going on. So if they've got material that they can relate to them, they'll listen. If they're a good comedian, they'll be listening and they'll come on and do it. Like me, if I'm ever doing a set, I will watch the whole night. If I'm headlining, whatever, I will get there. I watch the whole night because I want to know who's been spoken to, who I can relate stuff to, who I can pick on, who's up for a laugh, who's been a twat all the way through that I can riff with. So yeah, mine's purely, I will observe constantly throughout the night.
Right. There you go. Yeah. I'm shit at it. Someone tells me their name and then 10 minutes later I forget who it is. And I don't think I'm going through the menopause. I might be.
You might be. I said, that's the most terrifying thing for me is if I lost that. So sometimes if I'm having a bad night or whatever, I'll come off. I'm either recording it so I can go back and, if I need to, look back at the names, or I come off straight away and write down in my little notes who I need to remember. And more often than not, I never look back at those notes because by that point they're already in anyway.
Right.
But they're just there. If I'm just about to go on stage, I go, oh God, what was this? I got it there. But it's very rare that I used it.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah. Right. So, Ali, your number seven was The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Well done. Loz, what's your number seven?
Blades of Glory.
Oh, I love it.
It's just fun. Have you seen it, Pav?
You know what? I've never seen it.
You've not seen it. It's
no, just this
fun.
Isn't going well for
it's
me.
It's just really, really silly. Lots of fun. Very colourful. And, you know, you can't help but raise a smile. It's just very feel good, isn't it?
Yes. Will Ferrell. What's the guy's name?
Ben Stiller.
Napoleon Dynamite. John Heder, I think his name is. I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen it all the way through. So
it's not something that I've seen twice, but you know, it's on my, it's on my very watered down best top 10 sports movies that I have seen.
Okay. Ali, have you seen it?
I have.
And did you enjoy it?
It's goofy and it's funny. Listen, if Will Ferrell's in a movie, I'm seeing it. I'm probably seeing it 5, 6, 10 times. Really? Even if I don't love it, I'll see it a lot because I love him so much.
Yeah. Did you watch the Sherlock Holmes movie that you did?
With John C. Reilly?
Yeah. What did you think of that?
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
I was really surprised because I was looking forward to that. I thought it was going to be a really good romp, like a really good old-fashioned comedy romp, and it was just not very good at all.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that Spirited. Is it Spirited? Is that the new one?
With, that also wasn't great.
Light.
I didn't like it.
Really? I've not seen it yet.
It was just weird. I didn't enjoy it. Like, I put it on, I think, thinking, oh, yay, like a lovely a new Christmas film. And obviously, I also love Will Ferrell, so I was expecting big things. And it just went a bit weird really, really quickly. It's not liked here in the UK at all. It's got terrible reviews across the board. And I tried to remain really, really open-minded about it. But no, I have to admit, I didn't even finish it.
Wow. Okay. Because you're a big fan of it, Ali, aren't you? I've heard you talk
good
about it.
Good afternoon is all I will say to you. I loved it. I just, first of all, you put Will Ferrell with, what's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a musical and Christmas. Oh my gosh. You have to go real far for me to not like that movie, but I really liked it. I also had a couple glasses of Prosecco.
Maybe that was it. You were very drunk.
Good Lord. Yeah, I did enjoy it. I think more so than most people I've spoken with. So I think Laz, you are not the, on the outskirts.
I know it's not Christmas now, but I am going to watch it and see which side I go for. Because I love a good Christmas movie. It's just, you know, I don't know whether it works if you watch it out of the Christmas zone. Pod. I don't know.
Possibly not. Have you done a top 10 Christmas movies?
Yes, we have. It's weird because Ali did our top 10 Christmas movies, and then the week later, Loz did our top 10 Christmas songs. So we have our Christmas girls here. How
the Christmas correspondence. I love it.
There you go. Maybe next Christmas or the Christmas for the end of this year, we should do top 10 Santas. That might be a good one to do.
And interesting.
Then you can both come back and do who your favorite like TV and movie Santas are.
Are there 10?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
I don't know what you mean. Santa's just Santa, surely.
Great point, Laz.
You can have just anybody that has put on a Santa costume classed as a Santa, and who you're like, you could have Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places because he's like a big drunk Santa, isn't he? Anyway, I don't know that's 11 months' time.
Yeah.
Okay, my number 7 is Dodgeball.
Hey, that's my number 2.
Oh, that's your number 2.
Yeah.
I mean, as a comedy movie, let alone whether it's a sports movie, this has just got so much packed into it. And one of my biggest regrets, apart from The Big Lebowski tonight, was on the top 10 movie quotes that we did a few weeks ago, I didn't put this one. Oh, no, that's laughing. That shouldn't be that hard. It's going well. It's going well. It's the quote where it's, you're about as much use as a cock-flavoured lollipop. I can't believe I forgot that quote, because that is one of the greatest quotes in movie history.
I love it.
So, Rip Torn is fantastic in it. It is just ridiculous in so many ways. But for me, it's a fantastic, funny film, and Ben Stiller is great. as the baddie. Vince Vaughn, I think, is a typical sort of wisecracking self. But yeah, I'm a massive fan of that. So Lars, why number two?
Yeah, so I've seen Dodgeball a few times because I did love it so much. I love how they corral, you know, these sort of down and out people and made them into superstars. And I love the humor in it. In fact, I don't think I really enjoyed any other films that Vince Vaughn was in until I watched this, and it kind of got me on side with him. I actually quite liked him after I watched this film. Yeah, just very, very funny and a really easy watch all round. So that is why I put that at number two.
Okay. Ali?
I am floored at not liking Vince Vaughn before this. I mean, maybe it's just an American thing, or maybe it's just a Kevin and Bean thing. He used to come on the show, and he is so delightful and so clever and so quick and so funny. Old school, Wedding Crashers. Mm. Oh, I love Vince Vaughn, but I do love Dodgeball, but it didn't make my top 10.
Okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lucy, your number six, please.
Number six is a kind of a jokey one, but I've gone for Kenny in South Park.
Oh, right.
Just because of the, just give him a break. This poor child has been killed in so many different ways. I just think it's a really fun trope for them to have. You know, my personal favourite is when his heart gets replaced by a baked potato. It's just like this. It's just stupid little skits about Kenny. And I just think that, oh my God, he killed Kenny, is just iconic. So I think he had to be in here because he's a death that just keeps happening. And I think,
yeah.
I mean, really to be funny. Fair, he must have more deaths than Samuel L. Jackson.
He must do.
I mean, it's every episode, isn't
every
it?
Every episode. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched South Park in years, I must confess, but like, I just remember there's some really funny deaths that he went through, bless him.
Again, there must be something on YouTube, like a compilation. Of all of his deaths. So again, something else to look out for on the Patreon. I mean, to be fair, he has to be in someone's top 10, doesn't he, for TV deaths? Because he is that's all he does. He's got nothing else.
He exists to just die, yeah.
Go on then, Loz, your number six, please.
I mentioned her earlier, so Liz Smith, who played Nana in the Royal Family, the episode where she died. And again, what was really poignant about it is that we all watched her die, which was a really, really sad episode. And she just gets to meet her great grandchild just before she dies. And then in real life, several days later she died in real life. Yeah. So now when I watch that back again, it just makes me go, oh gosh, this woman was, you know, she probably was pretty much on her deathbed when that was being filmed. Presumably it was just a few months before.
That's my number six as well, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just such an emotional scene, and she's just so well loved, and the way that the other characters are all, you know, reacting, oh, it's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful death, isn't it? It's beautiful, surrounded by a family.
It was the Queen of Sheba, I think was the name of the episode,
wasn't it?
I think.
That's right,
There is some great outtakes on YouTube, some bloopers from that episode, and she's got one of the foulest mouths you've ever heard. Liz Smith, she has I'll definitely put on the video playlist, because there's some great bits, especially there's a bit when they're all of the family are, it's the point of her point of view of everybody around her bed,
yeah,
and they're all looking, they're trying to be sad, and then for some, I can't remember who it was who says something, and then everyone just starts laughing and they can't stop laughing. They're supposed to be really, really sad and they can't do it. They're just laughing all the way. But yeah, I think it's that was one of those shows that it was of its time. It was definitely felt like it was an early 2000s kind of show. So you watch it back now and it feels a little bit dated. But I think everybody had a nana like her.
Yeah,
that would say inappropriate things, that would think like giving you 10p would be like, you know, the greatest thing. You go and buy yourself some sweets with like 10p or something.
Yeah.
And you haven't got the heart to say, actually, nan, that's not going to buy you a penny chew these days. 10p, it's not going to get you it.
No.
But yeah, so Lucy, Royal Family fan?
Never seen it, I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Like, well, I've seen, like, you know, it in passing on Gold, but I've never really sat down and, like, watched. I've seen adverts for it and stuff, but never watched it, no.
And you've never had any sort of thing, I just want to maybe watch one and see what they're like, or?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I'd probably find it funny. It's just one of those shows that's just passed me by, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's just one of those. You can never get around to watching them all, can you?
No.
I think it's what inspired Gogglebox. Personally, that show,
probably because that's all they did.
Good point.
That's all
they just sat around watching telly, and it was just them watching telly. It was very funny. It was very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my number six was Nana from the Royal Family. Give us your number five, then, please, Brandon.
Number five is a little bit different. It's one of those songs that just means something to me personally and to memories again. It's spoken word for the most part, but it's Baz Luhrmann's Everybody is Free to Wear Sunscreen.
Yes.
And he's another one of those people who you had brought up earlier who had some critical commercial success with this song, but went on to, you know, do so much more than this song. I mean, the guy's absolutely incredible, and he's so profound in what he does, and yeah, it's almost like this is an afterthought. But for me, this is a song that my mom loves. And she's always pushing sunscreen still to this day. I'm 40 and she still asks me if I have sunscreen. But yeah, it's a great song. And just really, I love it.
It was such a different kind of song as well, wasn't it? It was like nobody... Now, is it Baz Luhrmann actually doing the talking on it?
I don't think so. I think he just...
Baz Luhrmann's Australian, isn't he? I think he's Australian. Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those songs that I'm not much for, like, self-help and that kind of thing, but it's one of those songs that I do feel people should just listen to from time to time, because it's just, it's good reminders on don't sweat the small things, just live your life.
Yeah. It's,
especially nowadays.
It's an experience to listen to that song because it's got some really trippy kind of music behind it, but the actual lyrics, if you like, are, unique. I think they're very interesting to listen to. Yeah,
and as I've gotten older, more and more of them have rang true. Though, you know, don't be cruel to your knees. They're the only ones you've got. Like it's little things, like little life bits that, like, man, I should have paid attention. But yeah, I just think it's just a good song to listen to. It's wholesome.
yes. But above all, remember to wear sunscreen. That's the thing. Yes, very, very good. Okay, my number five was Video Killed the Radio Star by Buggles, which was your number 10. Ariel, your number four then, please.
I'll go also with a quiz-related podcast. Do you know Pod Quiz?
No.
It's also British. It's great. Yeah. It's very bare bones. It's very much, you know, there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's not, yes, there's music and yes, there's, you know, sound beds and an intro and an outro and everything, but it's not, you know, there's no crazy production budget for anything. It's just, I think it's four different sections, each with five questions. And by the end, he goes through the answers and I just love it. And then it's clear that he has a lot of fans because he always shouts people out at the end. So I don't know, huge fan. If you want to just like play along while you're on a walk, it's great. He waits for you to answer. You answer in your head. It's big fan. Pod quiz.
What a great idea. What a simple, great idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
There has to be. So there's got to be more podcasts that are like that. That do.
Oh, quizzes. For sure. But he's been around a while.
That is genius. That's a genius idea. What? Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look at that one.
And for me, as somebody who is not British, but likes to do accents in my head, I have it stuck in, it's like pod quiz, you know, that's.
is that your best British accent?
Yeah, sadly, yes.
Can you say more than just pod quiz?
No. pod quiz. And I'm just really saying pod quiz.
There's a few Americans that I've spoken to. Whenever you try and get them, they always say, "Oh, I love the British accent."
I don't know why. We just do.
But when I say, "Oh, well, go and do your British," they always go, "Oh no, oh no, I don't ever want to do it."
It's not because it's offensive.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not offensive at all. It always makes me laugh because people always seem to think that Dick Van Dyke's version of a English accent in Mary Poppins is how everybody talks.
Oh, he was supposed to be British?
Yeah, in Mary
I thought
Poppins.
It was just mid-Atlantic, but
no,
okay.
No, yeah, he was supposed to be a Cockney, I think. He was, a chimney sweep, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so there you go. Huh. Again, so what's that called again?
That is pod quiz.
That's fair.
Excuse me.
That's okay. Every time you say that, you got to do it in English.
You have to.
My number four is a BBC podcast. It's Infinite Monkey Cage. With Robin Ince and Brain Box Brian Cox. Now, again, sometimes I will go and I will listen to like four or five episodes in a day. And by the time I finish, my brain is mush because they'll be talking about quantum theory and they'll be talking about time travel and any other kind of science things. But it's always done with a studio audience. It's done with some really good guests. A little bit like You're Dead to Me. There'll be a couple of scientists. They might chuck Eric Idle in from Monty Python or another comedian, but they're always talking about really interesting scientific subjects, but they'll do it so that it's slightly easier to understand, even though Brian Cox will go off and will start talking about these things and Robin Ince will have to rein him in a little bit because he's getting far too technical that people don't understand, or it'll be stuff that just blows everyone's mind because they can't compute about the amount of stars there are in the sky or how many galaxies there are out there. Have you heard of that one?
I haven't, but it sounds right up my alley.
it's amazing. It's the same as like if you like history, if you like science, it is mm-hmm. It is perfect. They've spoken to like astronauts, they've spoken to like say quantum theorists and so many different things, talking about so much stuff that it's absolutely fascinating, but like by the end of it, you are sort of out of breath because you're thinking, oh, my brain just is hurting now because I cannot compute all this stuff and the information that they've given me. But thoroughly recommended.
Yeah.
Okay. Faye, 2007, please.
Well, this is the year of so many great number one hits. So we had Kaiser Chiefs Ruby, that was number one for 1 week. Mika's Grace Kelly, I mean, that was such an amazing tune. 5 weeks at number one. My first choice was going to be Rihanna. It's late. I've got a cut. Rihanna. Featuring Jay-Z and Umbrella. But.
Ooh.
Changed it right at the last minute to Beyonce and Shakira, Beautiful Liar. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of reasons for this. The most amazing song video. But did you know, Pavo, This song was penned by Gloucestershire's Ian Dent of EMF.
And
really?
It won him an Ivor Novello Award.
Goodness me.
Spent 3 weeks at number one. Mind blown.
I'd forgotten about this song. I have to admit, I completely forgotten about this song. I didn't realise that a Gloucestershire native had written it.
Yeah, man.
God, he must have made a fortune on this song.
It's a good one, isn't it?
The video,
if you haven't seen the video, it's just like, I can do this with my hips. It's so sexy. Go and find it.
I will put it on the video playlist for our Patreoners. So I will watch it then. Just I'm going to have that and Holly Valance. Oh, my God.
I'm rubbing my thighs, by the way.
I'm going to be busy.
Hell, biscuits.
Oh, lordy, lordy me. Okay, well.
What about you?
Well, I have gone for a video that is very... It means a lot in our family, the video. The song means a lot in our family. Way back, well, it must have been 2000 and, what was it, 2007? 2007, 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to work things out. Grace Kelly by Mika. That's the song I've chosen.
Right.
Because back in 2007... I made a video with the kids where they were acting out the song. And then 10 years later, I made a shot-for-shot remake with the kids.
Oh, all grown up.
So 4 years' time, we're going to do another one. So it'll be like 20 years. So where like my granddaughter was just a baby, so we like dangled her feet in one of the shots.
Oh.
And then she would have been 7 or 8 maybe. In the remake.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then the very last shot is like all the grandkids come in the second one. So it's going to be even more and they're going to be more grown up. And it's just going to be the fact of having like some of my daughters are going to be 30 plus in age for the 2027 version.
Oh, I love it. You have to twist their arm every time you want to remake.
I mean, they didn't. They were fine to do it. And they all, I mean, you can tell. I'll put it up on the video playlist. I will put that video up as well because it is up on YouTube. You can watch it. And it is just, I was editing the second version in here and I was crying my eyes out because it was like seeing my like kids being sort of quite little to being a little bit more grown up. God knows what I'm going to be like in 2027 because they like, you know, they've had kids.
The question is, has Mika seen it?
I did try and tag him in it, but I never had any thing. I mean, I think when I put it up,
he blocked you. Stop probably. Contacting me.
Yeah, can you please stop using my stop using my song for for just home videos for goodness sake, or pay me some money is probably what you wanted.
Fair enough.
But it's a great tune.
He's gone on to write loads of stuff for other people as well, hasn't he? But what an artist! He's
absolutely.
Like, proper artist, isn't he?
A great first album as well. I haven't heard any of the other albums, but that Life in Technicolor, his first album, Big Girls was on there. There's some really, really good tunes on there. But yeah, so that's the reason that I chose that one, because it's just for more sentimental reasons.
Alan Ian, The Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Oh, and why is that, Ian?
Well, thank you for asking. A soulful ballad that showcases Lewis's powerful vocals and emotive lyrics with a memorable melody that connects with listeners on an emotional level.
Well, thank you for that, Alan. I think
AI.
For 2008, 2009, you need to do his in Alan's voice, okay? Okay? That's what you're going to say, as if Alan's actually here. So we'll do that. Okay. Your number two was JFK, which you've spoken about. Yes. My number two was Field of Dreams. So, Maria, what is your number? I know, can't get more complicated than that. Maria, what is your number one 90s song?
My number one 90s song is from a band who I have seen live like at least 6 or 7 times now.
Wow.
I've kind of lost count. And that would be Monkey Wrench by the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
And I did go to the Wembley tribute as well.
You did?
I did. That was, we arrived. That? I cried like a bitch. But you know, everybody in the stadium was also crying. I made friends with the people directly next to me who got increasingly more and more drunk as the night went on, as you are wont to do. But yeah, it was very emotional and it was so fun. And Liam Gallagher was there, Supergrass were there, and they were phenomenal. It was really cool. But yeah, I love the Foo Fighters. I just like, speaking of bands that you have tattoos of, you know, I have their first album tattooed on my forearm. Nice. Dave Grohl's just one of those guys you want to, you know, I don't have a crush on him. I want to hang out with him and drink Crown and Coke. That's right. That's what I want to do.
Have you ever watched the Hot Wings show on YouTube? The one with Dave Grohl?
Yes. Let's do another shot.
Yeah. He just, I mean, I'm not, okay, I'll, for total transparency, I don't know a lot of Foo Fighters songs. There's another one like Nirvana. I think if I, well, quite apt, it's like Nirvana.
Yeah.
If I listened to them, I probably would really enjoy them. But I think I'm like you. You just want to go out for a beer with Dave Grohl and just hang out with him. He just seems to be just like a really, really good dude that just like loves doing what he does.
Yeah. And it really shows just the way that he talks about it. I've read his autobiography. I actually was able to get tickets to see him speak about his book. So I got to see him play the drums to Smells Like Teen Spirit on stage.
I've seen the video of that. Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But he's just so full of like life and wonder and just, he loves what he does and it really shows.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. Ross, are you a fan of the Foo Fighters?
Yeah, I do like them. Not as much as my friends. But you know, I go to pubs, very grungy pubs, and my friends are really massive fans. But, you know, while they're raving about that, I'm talking about, you know, Robbie Williams and Moby. I've got a tattoo of... I've actually got one tattoo, and it's Moby. So I don't know if you can see that.
Fantastic. So,
thank you. It took a long time.
I mean, that is great because I love the way the tattooist has made it look like pen. That is amazing. I mean that's top quality
it's
a tattooing.
Skill, it's a skill. Yeah,
that is great. Did that hurt?
It was quite painful.
Yeah,
but we listened to Porcelain in the back, so I kind of dropped off.
Fair enough. Okay. Okay, I can let that one go. So wonderful. Monkey Wrench by the Foo Fighters is Maria's number one 90s song. So, Ross, which Robson and Jerome song have you chosen?
It might be. It could be Jimmy Nail and Crocodile Shoes or something. You
it
don't
could
know.
Be Jimmy Nail.
It is Disco 2000 by Paul.
Oh, hey, Ross, you're on the way out. But I take it that's by Pulp, yeah? That's Disco 2000 by
Pulp. Disco 2000 by Pulp. That's right, yeah.
And why?
It's just great. Dancey, energetic, the whole vibe of Britpop. And I just like Jarvis Cocker, it's that time of, well, it was a bit earlier, but when he did that little upstage of Michael Jackson at the Brit Awards, that like encapsulates just the whole of Britpop, I think, for me.
Yeah.
I just love it.
I will put that, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. I will put that on the video playlist for people to see, because that was something of its time. That was Michael Jackson was doing Earth Song, I think it was. Wasn't it?
That's
Earth
right. Song? Yeah, Earth Song.
On stage, and Jarvis Cocker got on stage and started waving his backside at him and stuff, and then I think he got thrown off the stage, didn't he, I think?
Well, he did. They started to come over to him, and then he sort of ran along a bit, didn't he? And ended it a bit, but it was the childishness of the kind of hand waving.
That's right.
As well. It wasn't even just the arse. It was just the. It was that. It was so so funny.
Oh dear! Again, was Pulp something that crossed over to the US?
I don't believe so. However, I do know who they are, and I like them quite a lot. Common People is a really great song. My personal favorite,
yeah,
I think it might have been a B-side, but it was Death Comes to Town.
All right, okay.
That's such a good Pulp song. And full transparency, the only reason that I'm familiar with them is I read a lot of fan fiction, and one of the people who wrote a particular piece of fanfic had centered it around that song, and they mentioned that that's what they used, and so I then went and did my own deep dive.
Oh, right. Okay, so just explain to me exactly what fan fiction is. Isn't that how Twilight started? Wasn't Twilight?
No, that's how 50 Shades of Grey started. That was fan fiction from Twilight. So, I mean, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be necessarily sexual in nature, but it is a person's, it is a person taking characters from a beloved, in my case, comic strip that I really enjoy reading. And they just, you know, reimagine them in various other situations. And there's some really well-written pieces of fan fiction. And then there's some absolute shit ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got sucked in and I accept any scorn given for that.
So do you, because something like 50 Shades of Grey, it doesn't say that it's a Twilight fan fiction, does it?
No, I think it ended up turning into its own thing. People liked it so much that it just became like its own standalone thing.
Yeah.
I've never read it. I just want to go on record as saying I've never read 50 Shades of Grey. But I am familiar with like its source.
Yeah, yeah.
I've acted out the stage version of 50 Shades of Grey. I've not read it.
On your own, to in your audience? Bedroom, is what you're talking about, Ross, isn't it?
Off the balcony again.
That's why all those people are chasing you. We want a sequel. They're going, we want a sequel. Okay. My number one is my other song from my funeral. It's going to be a hoot, my funeral, with one there. And also, but this is a song that was on the Wonderwall CD single. This isn't it wasn't even an album track. It wasn't a single. But for me, it's the greatest Oasis song ever written, and it's called The Master Plan.
Yes, I love that.
It's just got absolutely everything. There is a great version when Oasis did Unplugged, and Liam apparently had a bad throat, but he's up in the gods of wherever they was doing it, and Noel had to do all the vocals, and he knocked it out of the park. It's just a fantastic tune. And this is the other song that's going to be on my... I don't know how many songs you're allowed to have in a funeral. I don't know. But there's two of them.
I think you can have as many as you want.
Can you?
Yeah.
I might have a couple more then. I might have a Robson and Jerome one. You never know. I might have it stipulated in my will that I have whatever it was. Was it Porcelain was the song that you were going to have? And I have Ross come down the aisle with it all tucked in. To Porcelain, or that by Moby. Would you mind if I have that in my will, Ross? Would you do that for
sure,
me?
Sure, no, go ahead. Thank you. That's all right.
Thank you. We have a witness in Maria as well. So.
I will sign any affidavit I need to sign.
Thank you. I will fax it over to you immediately, Maria. Wonderful. So there you go. That's my number one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.